listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live. 200 Fox Sports Radio stations. 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. And we've got, I think one of our new catchphrases should be, we've got double the show. Meaning if we had to go 2 hours, Parker Broussard somehow get in the traffic, we're ready to go. Even in July, making Christmas albums in July. That is true success if you're a musician. Joined in studio, Steve Fezzik, NFL expert. He will be under the scrutiny today. His quarterback ratings versus the NFL players. Also, we're going to talk coaches. Belichick uncovered something pretty amazing about Belichick. Brad Powers also in studio. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. Now, you can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jones. Not
always good to be here, RJ, on Straight Out of Vegas. And we start in the NFL with Odell Beckham Jr. Much of the conversation yesterday about his interview with GQ. And one of the points that was brought up is that he has a goal in mind, a goal to pass Jerry Rice on the all-time yards receiving list in NFL history. So with that being said, Vegas did what only Vegas can do, and you guys crunch the numbers.
Yeah, first, so speaking of GQ, now I'm looking at you right now, and you're in a V-neck white T-shirt.
Yeah, that is correct.
Now,
yes.
Here's the question. Is what deliberation went in? Is that a special shirt? Because
no.
There was a guy that lived on my block growing up, Lincoln Avenue. It was the best block in town. And he was one of those dudes when you were like 8 or 9, you look at him and you say, oh, stay away from that guy. He always had the white T-shirt on. And it was usually stained. It seemed to be the same shirt multiple days. He'd come out with a beer, put his hand up against the sun, you know, kind of look around mean and then go back inside for 3 days. Now, the question is, what's the difference between him and your T-shirt?
No yellow stains because I just bleached it and used a little bit of bleach with some liquid detergent. So it's bleach.
Okay, so you really are, instead of buying a new shirt, because that'd be interesting saying, listen, I'm going to buy a T-shirt the first time I wear it. It's white. It's going to be on the outside, Brando style.
Yeah.
And then after that, it'll be, you know, what it's supposed to be, an undershirt.
Yeah, and you always got to buy these shirts a size larger so that way they shrink down 100% cotton and they fit tight as a glove. That's the
Yeah, move. Well, that's what I do not want. I mean, we know that much. But I do find it interesting that Jonas is in. If he was broadcasting from his bedroom, he would have the exact same shirt on.
Get stealing! Woo! Wheeling, dealing! Living! Jet flag, son of a gun.
I mean, there he is, Jonas Knox. All right, let's talk about OBJ. Now, first off, speaking of Jonas, let's debunk a few things Colin Cowherd said today. And we have a new, not a topic, but
segment.
Segment. That's a good word for it. We have a new segment called Colin is Crazy, but we're not going to pull that out for this one. He's not that. You know what's funny is the day we did that the first time, the only time, Colin called me up. Now he calls, you know, we talk about once a month, but it seemed coincidental. I said, did you listen to, you know, but he's good natured about it. But he was saying, oh, New York media, New York people were overreacting. They were telling, you know, their opinion in New York was, oh, OBJ shouldn't be talking about the Giants. Get over it, buddy. And I don't think, I mean, maybe New York was saying that, but the consensus opinion, I think, at least that was negative about OBJ was they paid you a lot of money. They seem to try to accommodate you in many ways. To say you were disrespected might be a bit much. You know, again, this is, you know, these are finding the right words, right? Because if he did say, listen, they did a lot of things that were supportive and some stuff that wasn't, that really hurt me. Like, that sounds reasonable. We can all debate who should get hurt, when, but in general, you got to leave it up to the person and know that's the kind of person they are when you deal with them, right? But, I mean, and let me ask as an open question, I don't think a lot of people outside of New York was saying it was about the Giants or quit talking about New York as much as it was what he was saying. Wouldn't you guys agree?
It was more what he was saying.
I agree.
Jonas, what did you think?
There was I know Rob Parker was very bothered that he was talking about New York still. So I think he was the only one.
I mean, he hasn't played a game. He hasn't even moved, right? I mean, you know what we should do is we should actually do one of my favorite segments in the last month or so when Kawhi was going around, we did a travel log. When the moving truck, we should get remember the old theme song, moving on up to the side. We should
Jeffersons.
The Jeffersons. We should have some kind of travel log when he finally moves.
Well, it's Cleveland. It'd be more like Sanford in some music.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty good. Now, remember, Brad, you grew up in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Or in a farm outside of Cleveland.
Yes.
Is that fair to say?
Yes.
That's Brad Powers. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. All right. So to me, I think it's hard to, you know, it's the same thing we saw with Durant. Obviously, Golden State tried very hard to please him. Just as obviously, who knows what happened with his knee, meaning he might have a gripe there. But when you, and we talked about this article that was written by Mark Spears, in which he was talking about that if they had treated him like a hero every second, maybe he would have stayed a while longer. That was the gist of the quote. And to me, at some point, why do you think big radio guys try to support the players oftentimes? Because they want to feel like, and we've talked about this, they want to feel like they're on the side of the working man. And somehow the millionaires are the working man and the billionaires are, you know, not the bosses. To me, anyone that's making many, many millions of dollars is not in the 99th percentile. They're in the 99.9999 percentile. And the difference between 50 million and a billion, I'm not sure normal Americans understand it. Meaning, there is no difference to them. They could do pretty much whatever they wanted with 50 million. I know I could.
Yep.
I don't have any great desire to own an island. Right? So I just think these players have to get it that if they are making tens of millions of dollars, that if you act like you're aggrieved, if you act like you've been treated extremely poorly, you can say, I wish it was better. You can say, this other team seems to treat their players better. What the Mavs do, for example, in the NBA, they figure, hey, the max contract is the same for everybody, you know, based upon the contingencies. And the theory is we're going to make the locker room, the plane, the amenities in a way, the difference. And that's smart. And we've seen this in college football.
Yep.
Right? I saw on Twitter, someone sent you something about LSU and they were talking about how much they spent per play.
Yeah, they have beds, individual player beds now in their new locker room.
So, I mean, to me, that's a way LSU can not compensate. They can give them something of value without breaking the rules. Right? And same thing with the Mavs. It would be something beyond the contract of value. I think that's awesome. And if a player says, you know, I like that, I wish I had a bed, no problem. But if you tell me, hey, I'm thinking of a lawsuit because I don't have a bed, you know, oh, you don't have a bed. No, I've got my four houses. I just don't have a bed in the locker room. Probably not going to get a ton of sympathy. All right. So that's my takeaway from the more human interest side. Straight out of Vegas. Now, let's talk numbers. because to me, I felt like it was contradictory to say, I want to win, and oh, by the way, I want these personal stats. That's a big goal of mine, too. Now, I think to have personal goals only makes sense. The question is, they have to be subordinate, in my mind, to the team goals, or you're not my kind of player. And that's me. I do think there's a generation gap here. I do think that in general, if you had a bunch of 20-year-olds and asked them personal goals, and this is something in business there's many discussions about with the younger workforce, is do they buy into a company, or do they mentally, psychologically, do they feel like that they're part of something, or do they feel like mercenaries? And there's always been mercenaries in any given generation, but the percentage of the 20-somethings that seem to be self-interested, more so than the average person, compared to 50-year-olds, I would say I see a real trend. Now, Jonas, you're closer, you know, to that age. Brad, you are too, but you guys aren't in your 20s. So, I mean, as you look back 5 years, you know, younger, what do you see?
See that people feel like they sometimes are taken advantage of a little bit more nowadays by the places they work. Like, they feel, and I think it's, and this, I don't know if this is just the generation, but it feels like people look at more work as a punishment as opposed to, hey, be blessed that you have the opportunity to.
And again, it's back to the economy, right? Is things are in many ways, and there's a lot of things you could say, well, if you look at the actual amount of salary, it's not going up as fast as it should. Disparity between the haves and the have-nots certainly has grown. Listen, I tell you this, want to make a prediction, you can put this one down in the books here as a guarantee, and I don't make guarantees, is we can't even comprehend what's going to happen when artificial intelligence gets as big as it's going to be in 10 years. And how fast that's going to grow, people are going to be shocked, because it's not 2 + 2 + 2 + 2, but it's geometric or even exponential, which is overly used, but it really will. Well, the computers themselves will be programming the next computers. And now we're in Terminator land at that point. And that is, you know, hey, a guy like Elon Musk is fearful somewhat of that. But here's the prediction. I don't know if it's 5 years. I don't think it's much longer. Almost every checkout in the country is going to be automated. And we're moving there fast. I think of all those ladies with the beehive hairdos that were checking you out all those decades. Where are they at now? I can tell you this, they're not programming those computers, right? Yeah. And then I say that with a smile, but I say that as in this idea that during this, now listen, if you're 18 now and you look at where we're headed and you still decide you want to be a cashier, that's on you. But if someone's 50 and they've been a cashier their whole life, it's kind of hard to say retrain them. I get we should try. I'm saying if it's difficult, I think it's hard to blame them all that much. And then think about every car that is doing anything business-oriented will be probably computer-driven. And every Uber, every Lyft. I mean, that's where, you know, when is that? But think about every truck driver. I mean, this, there's going to be so, if you look at the jobs from 20 years ago and you say, okay, my dad was a good example. Went to the Navy, graduated high school, went to the Navy, never went to college, became a machinist, worked in the coal mines, 33 years. He made a good living. I mean, in the 80s, he was working a ton of overtime. I think he made like 80K in the 80s. It was good money, but he worked 60 hours a week. He was in a coal mine, right? That's pretty much gone now. Meaning if you want to make in 80s dollars, what's that, like 140 now or something? If you want to make 140 in today's dollars working manual labor, it's going to be hard, right? But then the next move is, oh, be a cashier, drive a taxi, drive an Uber, whatever, good, honest work. Well, what happens when that goes? So we were talking about the haves and have-nots and talking about how the players don't seem to have perspective on how much they do have sometimes. Boy, I think that as a strong prediction, we don't even know how much turmoil there's going to be when there are so many jobs eliminated from technology. And oh, by the way, if we repress that technology, then we're in big trouble on the battlefield, because that's another job that is going to be mostly robots at some point, which is fighting the wars, which is another scary Terminator thought. So what we're going to do, so we don't get too fearful, is take a break. And when we come back, we will look at what are the chances that OBJ breaks Jerry Rice's record. Brad uncovered something that says very, very unlikely.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we have got the numbers that may signal some bad news for one of the best wide receivers in the game.
Thanks for joining us on a two for Tuesday. Two? We got double show. We got that much show. We're going to squeeze it in. Or I'm going to tell a lot of stories. Some variation of the two. We have fun, though, bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you right now on the Strip. It's 100 degrees. It's nice and cool. True or not, guys, you walk out today and go, man, it's cool out. It's not so bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Jump in the pool and feeling like it's too cold.
I've definitely said it was cool today.
Yeah.
Literally, because it's been scorching out here.
Yeah, thanks for saving Fez there. And oh, by the way, the neon is flowing.
Guys, we've been talking a lot about Odell Beckham Jr.'s comments in GQ, one of which was that he wants to pass Jerry Rice all time in yards, receiving yards for his career. So you guys in Vegas crunched the numbers, and you have found out why that may not be so attainable.
Well, listen, I would love to bet it if anyone's interested. but what I will say is this. To me, any criticism to Beckham with this needs to be about where is it prioritized. Because if you tell me a guy who's as good as Beckham doesn't, in the back of his mind or even in the front of his mind but not so publicly, want to break Jerry Rice's record, then I think, wow, why aren't you aspiring, right? Don't you want to be the best, right? LeBron, I strongly don't think, was Michael's equal, hasn't been. I don't think he will be. But what should LeBron's goal be, right?
Be better.
Be better. Be the best. So I like that he wants it. The question is it subordinate, is behind prioritizing winning? I hope so. With OBJ, it's hard to be sure sometimes. Okay, first off, though, from here through the end of his career projected, how long would he have to play, to what age, and how many yards per game?
Yeah.
Or per season?
OBJ is going to, he needs 17,420 yards to pass Jerry Rice.
Wow.
So I gave him the benefit of the doubt, OBJ. I said, hey, we'll throw out the last couple of seasons because he's been injury. More on that later. So if you take his season averages from his three best seasons, it's going to take OBJ between 12 and 13 years to pass Jerry Rice. So he's going to be either 39 or 40 years old if he's going to pass Jerry Rice at his current pace.
Now, the history of 39, 40-year-olds at wide receiver, not good.
Not good at all.
Right? Not good. But I think they're even worse for Beckham. Now, you approach it, I thought, in a very shrewd way. How do we see, based on what's happened so far with OBJ injury-wise, and we project out into the future?
So I took a look at the all-time leading receivers in the history of the NFL, receiving total receiving yards in your career.
Okay, so the theory, though, is that if you're injured a bunch when you're young, you're probably going to be injured more than average when you're old.
Not perfect, but I certainly think there's correlation.
Yeah, and well, there's certainly correlation, right? There is a propensity to be injured in some, I think at least on the extremes, right? One or two injuries, you know, to me, I look at Boogie Cousins and say, does he really have a propensity, or did he have a big one with his Achilles and then one hamstring and now he seems to be damaged goods, but is he really? I think that's a reasonable question because it's sample size. And a guy that never has gotten injured in 4 or 5 years, you could say, oh, he's bulletproof. And it's like, well, no, he just hasn't had that one or two injuries. But with Beckham, it's been more than that. So how many games has he missed in his career?
21 games in 5 years.
Okay. Now, let's just look at the top 10 receivers. Jerry Rice is at the top of that list. Who's number 10?
Number 10 is Reggie Wayne.
Okay. How many of those receivers in their first 5 years, so it's apples to apples with OBJ, how many missed 21 or more games?
Zero.
Say it again?
Zero.
0.0.
Wow. Okay. Now, so he's out of the top 10, at least on that. Now, what was the most games missed in the top 10?
Most game was 19, Isaac Bruce.
Oh, now that's a lot. Now, yep. What's the second most?
Second most was 17, Steve Smith.
Okay, so there's actually been some people in the range. But really, there's another way to look at this. There's three guys. You probably could have saved a little time by saying this. Three guys had a lot of injuries on the list, right? Bruce at 19. Games missed first 5 years. Tim Brown, 16 games. And Steve Smith, if that is his name, 17 games. But after that, the fourth most injured player on the top 10 missed four games in 5 years. So if you look down, Jerry Rice, 0. Fitzgerald, 4. Owens, 4, et cetera. So it's either, if you have a good bit of injuries, you can reach that top, you know, I guess top 5, because Bruce is the best amongst those getting injured a good bit in their first 5 years. Okay, now in the second 10, so 11 through 20, how many had as many injuries as OBJ?
0 of them.
0.0.
So how deep do we have to go on the list?
We got to go to 24, Charlie Joyner, who missed 23 games in his first 5 years.
After that overtime game, though, against Don Shula, I mean, you got to give it to him. Remember, he was getting carried.
Oh, I really had to do the math. I was like, well, how many games did they play back in 1971?
Did they count that game as two, though? Because that was a game. Yeah. For the youngsters out there, check it on YouTube. What a game. Now, to me, it's not a perfect predictor. But I'll tell you this. If someone wants to take an average, you know, we'll figure out an average good receiver, and this is an open invite to the guys around the Wise Guy Roundtable here. If you want to say, I'll take OBJ to have less injured games in the next 5 years than, and let's just pick an elite guy, even Antonio Brown, right? Doesn't get injured all that much. Now, you might say, oh, well, so far it's been OBJ with more, but it's all going to even out in the end. Well, Fez, would you bet that?
Well, because Brown's 31, I actually would bet Brown.
The next five, okay, what happens if he retires? Does the bet stop?
That really depends upon that.
Yeah, I don't know. And OBJ is how old now?
OBJ is 26.
Okay. Yeah, all right, let's say another 26, 27-year-old.
Evans Hopkins.
Yeah, would you want to bet it, Brad?
No.
And it doesn't mean we're sure. It means there's two possibilities. One, OBJ's just average and he's been unlucky. And number two is he has a propensity to one of two things, either injury or not playing in games where maybe he could play. Back to that difference between pain, you know, like if you're injured versus if you're hurt, right? If it's about pain, they're supposed to grit it out. If it's about hurting yourself further, you're not supposed to play, right? So that said, It strikes me OBJ has a rep for maybe taking an extra game off here or there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. So anything else on OBJ?
I don't have anything other than maybe it's a little bit better than 0.0, but the chances of OBJ passing Jerry Rice, I'll give anybody right now 100-1. Anybody want to take it?
100-1?
Yeah. I think it's 1%.
That's a heck of a bet. I'm going to think on that.
All right.
Because I tell you this, though I was shocked at this, Jonas. I don't know if you saw this work, but you got a last thing on OBJ, and then I got a question.
Well, yeah, it just, I also don't think it translates to him having a long career because he's got options. He's got so many options off the field.
His Instagram followers.
Yeah, that, and he's got a Nike deal. He's got all sorts of things that he's working on business-wise off the field. He doesn't strike me as a guy who needs to play that long, much like some other guys who play that long because maybe they didn't have the opportunities off the field.
You know, we've never talked, that's a great point, but you know, we've never talked about this on Straight Out of Vegas, but I think in the minority with the following. I think if you're one of the best in the world at something, that you should be obsessed with it. You know, I'm not a huge West Wing fan, But, you know, I watched them all. So, in fact, I'm probably, you know, listen, if you watch like 5 or 6 seasons, you're not, you know, kind of a fan, right? But I'm not one of those guys that have conventions or whatever about it. But, you know, early on, the chief of staff for the president, they showed his wife. And his wife said, listen, our marriage, you know, the fellow who was the chief of staff might have been, you know, they were probably in their 50s, right? So they've been together a long time. And she goes, I think our marriage is really suffering. And he says, listen, I'm the chief of staff of the president of the United States. She goes, does that take precedence? Is that more important than our marriage? He looks at her and goes, yeah, it has to be, right? If your marriage is more important, you probably don't or shouldn't be the chief of staff of the president, right? And you probably, quite frankly, shouldn't be an NFL head coach. Because I think we see, not saying they don't love their wives, not saying they don't try their best, but if you work 70 hours a week, it's kind of hard to be, you know, at every softball game your daughter's playing.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. So to me, if I see Durant, if I see OBJ, I get it. I get the idea that you want to be cosmopolitan. You want to be someone who is good at this, but good at that. But every second you're not... You look at Brady. Brady seems pretty narrowly interested. And I get it. Brady's Brady. And we might never have seen anyone with that dedication. I'm thinking about chess players. I'm thinking about poker. Whatever you do, great. If you're a painter, you know, how stupid would it have been for Van Gogh to start saying, you know something? I'm going to take up the guitar, maybe. You know? I think the chicks dig guitar. I mean... OBJ is one of the most talented receivers in the history of the universe. And for him to be thinking, oh, I'm going to play here or there, or I'm going to do this or that because it's going to help my business career. Listen, you're never going to be a great businessman because those guys, like you were playing football when you were 7, they were reading the Warren Buffett book when they were 7. Right? Or maybe 11.
But isn't he already a great businessman if you look at it?
Well, I think that he...
Now that's today's standards.
Now, that is a great question, because if we're saying, is he earning from business interests, then he is a success.
Yes.
If you think that he might be up to be IBM CEO next...
That's not what he wants.
Exactly. Though. Well, but what I'm saying, if he wanted it or not, he couldn't do it, right? So I think that being... And listen... Someone like Jay-Z, you got to ask yourself, how much of this is celebrity and brand, all of his success, and how much is this is a guy, if he grew up in a different environment, could have went to Harvard, could have, don't have to go to Harvard to be great at something, but could have went to a good state school and been CEO of a, you know, printing company or something, right? Which doesn't sound near as fun, but I guess what I'm saying is I want to acknowledge as a business graduate and as a guy that runs a business, the skill set it takes to run a business successfully is not common, right? That's why most people don't run successful businesses. And now, does OBJ have enough to run a business the size of pregame.com? Maybe. He certainly has a celebrity too, but the guys like a Steve Jobs, the guys, they're just as good at their job as OBJ is at his. But let's bring it full circle to close. It would have been crazy if Steve Jobs said, you know, I'm not going to design the iPhone. I'm going to go join this flag football league. You know, so I just out of selfishness, I want the greats to focus on their greatness. But that doesn't seem, as you said, Daryl, it doesn't seem to be the way that the current players are thinking.
Well, it goes back to what Le'Veon Bell was just saying. Beyonce is not spending every waking minute of her life singing. She's not. She's doing other ventures. So it's just a different day and age.
Yeah, but when you're – I mean, do you – if you were a Jets fan and you really cared about the results of the Jets, would you look at Le'Veon Bell and say, thumbs up, buddy?
I would, because I've seen what he's produced in the past doing the same thing.
But has he done the same thing? Because, I mean, to me, the big thing he did, and Brad, you remember him in college better than me, he lost a ton of weight.
Yep.
Coming into the
NFL. Yeah, he's totally different back now than what he was.
And my understanding is, and again, this has been maybe 6-8 weeks ago, I heard he had some weight on.
But he was rapping in Pittsburgh, though. He was still doing those things in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So, again, listen, every right to do it. Just I whatever it is I'm best at, I always, and I'm not saying I'm as good as OBJ or not. I mean, I don't, you know, I won't say it. I likely am not, but however good I am, I love to sink my teeth in what I'm best at, because that feels like you can make the most hay there, right? And let's be candid. A lot of working people don't have anything about their job that they love. There is no, you know, for a lot of people, no craft to it. It's just a grind. And if you're lucky enough to have that and to be world class, you know. There's two ways, you know, we got to wrap, but there's two ways to look at it. One is go have some fun with some other hobbies. That's not so bad versus, oh, this guy's a drug addict, or and I'm not talking about anyone in particular. This guy drinks or this guy's eating himself out of the league. That's throwing away your talent. And then you've got Brady on the other side. And to me, the question is, where's OBJ? We're probably going to have a good idea. I do agree with Brad, though, probably not going to break Jerry Rice's record. When we come back, we'll actually tell you an amazing stat about Jerry Rice himself.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a look ahead at the night in sports. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know what Bob Dylan says about Jersey?
Jersey, anything's legal.
But he got caught. Now, this is amazing. Is if and if you're driving, don't close your eyes. But otherwise, I'm going to say, let's look at the average of the first 5 years of Jerry Rice's career and look at the entire NFL and say, how many yards did NFL teams on average throw for? All right. Now, this is back in the 80s. When Terry Bradshaw had a 51% completion percentage. You always hear that one, right? Okay. Now, the first 5 years of OBJ, obviously the last 5 years, historic passing yards. But Brad, when I was guessing, now, guys, guess how many more yards, or not, let's go percentage. How much additional percentage are teams passing for today versus back in Jerry Rice's first 5 years? So last 5 years versus 5 years during the 80s. What's the numbers, Brad?
15.5% more right now.
So just a smidge over 15%. So like 30, 40 yards a game is,
yeah,
what I'm
guessing.
Yeah,
that's it. 31 yards a game.
That seems crazy.
It seems crazy to me because, you know, just recollection, all Bradshaw and the like, he'd throw for like 215, 220, and now routinely the Bradys of the world are thrown for 300, but I guess a lot of bad quarterbacks still in the league this year, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. If we looked at the number five guy, let's say yardage-wise, it'd be different. So, by the way, last thing on Jerry Rice. This is the all-time... This is awesome. This might be the stat of the century. All right, let's talk about the receiving yards after age of 40 list. Okay? Receiving yards after the age of 40. Jerry Rice has 2,509. So two all-pro seasons, effectively, after 40. Brett Favre has minus 2 yards. Okay? Everyone else in the history of the NFL, including Fezzik, 0 yards. So no one's caught a pass for positive yardage except Jerry Rice in the history of the NFL after the age of 40. And oh, by the way, Brett Favre's the only one to ever catch a pass for minus 2 yards.
Probably caught a deflection, right?
Now, that's the weird thing, though. If he caught it for 1 yard, how many bar bets could you make? Yeah. Who's the second leading 40-year-old or older receiver? But minus two, I'm not even sure how you'd structure the bet. Well, we'll think about that. And, you know, Jonas, I don't ever do this, but
well,
you got something good.
I was just
going to
say,
tell.
So that means if Tom Brady would have caught that pass in the Super Bowl last year or the year before against the Eagles, he would have been number two on the list.
But I think there is a stat, and we'll look it up when we're going, when it comes to rushing yards after a certain age.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady's like right at the top of the list. Because again, after, I don't know about George Bland is probably on that list, but not many after 40, right? So when we come back, we'll give you that. And also, Fezzik versus the world. Fezzik's on one side, everybody else is on the other, and he's got a smile on his face.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We're straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. The controversy is out and about. This, according to The Athletic out of the NBA, that some feel, and a source in speaking with The Athletic involved with the process told them that Magic Johnson talking about his meeting with Kawhi Leonard and Kawhi Leonard's uncle Dennis is what sealed the fate of Kawhi choosing not to go to the Lakers and instead going across the hall to the LA Clippers.
So let's take this report at face value. And it strikes me that the Lakers have still one of the best brands in the NBA, one of the most prestigious brands in the NBA, no doubt about that. On the other hand, their efficiency in the front office may be one of the worst, if not the worst. I think there's a correlation. The more that you're kind of crowned, the more that you feel like you're special, the less attention to detail you typically will pay. Now, I've said it once, I'll say it 100 times. Very few human beings will act mature if they're not forced to. All right? Some will. 95% will. Magic Johnson has never been forced and to do very much he didn't want to do for a long time. It's hard for him to not just do what he wants to do.
I'm Magic Johnson. You know how many finals I've been in?
And he's worth like 800 mil, 800 sticks. It's almost a bill, Fez.
Yes, it is.
So to me, I think that it's reasonable to be critical of the Lakers. I also think that Kawhi is one of the handful of players that would put efficiency of the front office over the brand, the prestige. And maybe that's why he's won 2 titles, right? Is he is that type of player. For the most part, I think a lot of people would just, Anthony Davis would say, LeBron, Lakers, sign me up.
Yep.
Last point. Jonas is, and I say this sincerely, has one of the best reputations within FSR you could imagine. He's humble. He's a hard worker. He worked his way up. His t-shirts are white. I mean, the whole, you know, like the Fonz, he irons them every day. He has his Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, the whole thing. But I could easily write an article and get a quote on background that said, let's say there's 4 different things. It could be Jonas is hardworking, but he's an a-hole. Or Jonas is lazy, but he's nice. I mean, like think of, you know, 4 quadrants. I could get 4 quotes easy, right? Or I could make them up with, quite frankly, that happened at the New York Times. It happens. I'm not accusing anyone in this case. All I'm saying is these writers tend to start the story with an angle in mind, and they end up, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. They're going to get the quotes they need to write the story they want. There's often another side.
Guys, we did this during the football season. It was very popular, in which we glorify our disagreements with a little something we call...
It's the pros versus the world.
Okay, so Fez, we're going to do one today because we're running late. And let's just start with Tom Brady. For about 15 years, you've been saying Brady's getting old. How many years has it been?
6 years.
I mean, honestly, you have no shame. It's been 6 years, and you're going to do it again.
And I'm finally right.
This is it, right? All right, so what does the two kind of the world in this case, Athletic, also Pro Football Focus?
Yeah, Athletic number 2, Pro Football Focus has Brady number 1. Tom Brady is overrated. I have him number 5, RJ. Let me make the case here. Underlying stats, let's just look at QBR. Tom Brady was rated 2nd and then 3rd in the league. Last year, he slipped to 6th.
Hold on. 2nd, 3rd. So you're saying 3 years back, he was 2nd.
Yes.
2 years back, he was 3rd. And now, last year, he was 6th. Now, are we really saying the difference between 2nd and 6th is all that important? Meaning, it's probably like 2 touchdown passes.
Yes. What I'm more concerned about is that Football Outsiders looked at the distance of his passes, and he ranked 23rd in terms of the distance thrown on his passes. A clear sign.
Okay, so here's the question. Because the eye level goes down. The question is, what did he rank the year before and the year before that? Homework for tomorrow, because if it's about the same, he's been able to be super effective, not throwing as long. And if that has decreased, it could be an indicator. We'll tell you that tomorrow.
That's right. Coming up tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and also on the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!